In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, June 15th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. U.S. Navy Chaplain Wes Motter, who has come under fire more than once for publicly condemning homosexuality and upholding what God's Word says about marriage, has filed a formal complaint now against the Navy so he can resume his duties. According to Breitbart, Chaplain Motter has been spending his days on duty outside his office on a tight rein from his commanding officer, Captain John Foz, who has ordered him to stop speaking to fellow Navy personnel. Foz ordered the stand down after several sailors complained about Chaplain Motter's strong stand with Holy Scripture. The sailors said Chaplain Motter was, quote, unable to function in a pluralistic and diverse Navy, unquote. An attorney from the Liberty Institute said, quote, the religious liberty of every chaplain in the United States military hangs in the balance, unquote. Psalm 19:7 tells us, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Michigan passed a law Thursday protecting religious adoption agencies from being forced to place children in the homes of homosexual couples. Other states, whose population overwhelmingly support this kind of legislation, have cowered to political correctness. Sadly, some Catholic and evangelical adoption agencies in Illinois have already closed their doors instead of complying with their new state law. Their law requires faith-based agencies give a list of adoption services catering to homosexual couples if they cannot help them. One man says science proves that not one planet besides Earth can support life. Creation advocate David Rivas, when reviewing the astronomical impossibility of extraterrestrial existence, came to this conclusion.
The evidence that there is life out there, besides, of course, our Creator in His vast universe, is next to none. But we shouldn't be surprised because we live on a very special planet. When we look at the universe and all its vastness, it's easy to think of this Earth as a tiny rock floating in space. But we have some extraordinary characteristics on this planet that enables it to survive in a universe that, for the most part, is very hostile to life.
Bloodhounds bay, searchlights burn through the nights, helicopters circle, and nearly 1,000 law enforcement officials say they may be closing in on the two escaped convicted murderers in upstate New York. A female prison employee has been charged with helping in the escape. New York prison tailor Joyce Mitchell was arraigned Friday on a felony charge while more sensational news of the escape came to light. Mitchell, who had been reported for having too close a relationship with the two escapees weeks prior to the escape, has now been suspended from her job without pay. Police say Mrs. Mitchell gave the escapees tools to cut through the steel wall of their cell, then cut through a 2.5-foot brick wall, and then cut through a 24-inch steel sewer pipe that led to a manhole outside the prison. On Friday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott gladly signed a bill into law that protects patients from being starved to death in his state. Prior to its passage, people were allowed to withhold food from patients to hasten their deaths in some cases. President Barack Obama had all of Washington buzzing Friday morning after his surprising appearance at the congressional baseball game the night before and again Friday afternoon with a surprise visit to Congress. But he ultimately struck out by the end of the day when his last-ditch efforts to pass his trade authorities bill failed. He had expected to win, but 300 Democrats voted against the measure. The cyber hack attack targeting federal employees last week is much worse than the White House administration has let on, said the president of the Government Workers Union. And now, a second massive cyber breach of federal records, reportedly executed by China, has resulted in the theft of sensitive information provided by intelligence and military personnel to obtain security clearances. Early Saturday, a gunman attacked Dallas police headquarters from an armored van, shooting at officers and leaving bags filled with pipe bombs around the building. After a several-hour standoff, the assailant was shot and killed by a sniper. The hot weather has finally arrived, and with it some hazards we should all avoid if possible. Make sure you have plenty of sunscreen. Don't leave kids unattended in the car. Be careful with children and swimming pools And, oh yeah, watch out for police who may shut down your kid's lemonade stand if they don't have the proper permit. According to the Washington Times, two little girls had been trying to earn money for a Father's Day gift in Overton, Texas for about an hour when police pulled up and shut them down. Police told Zoe and Andrea Green, ages 7 and 8 respectively, unless they had the proper permit, they had to stop selling lemonade and kettle corn to passersby. When a neighbor heard about their plight and went down to buy a peddler's permit for $150, he was told they also needed a permit from the health department. Thankfully, the girls were able to obtain the proper permits when the city waived the fees, and they were back in business Saturday. No one was hurt, and no viral video was produced this time. And that's the World View on this Monday, June 15th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Persecution against Christians is on the rise in Pakistan, Iran, India, Africa, Canada, Washington, and Iowa. Our religious liberties are hanging in the balance.
There was a report that recently found that Christians are the most persecuted religious minority in the world.
News reports every day indicate the tide is turning right now.
Well, last night, Reverend Franklin Graham was here talking about what he called the growing hostility toward Christians in America, including the Christmas holiday.
We lost religious freedom battles in Indiana and Arkansas this year. Christian businesses have been fined $135,000 for not supporting a homosexual wedding. Christian parents are concerned about parental rights and education and medical choices.
I believe we're going to see persecution in this country. We've already seen many laws that have been passed restrict our freedom as Christians. And so I believe it's going to get worse. And we see, no question, gaining influence in Washington.
That's why the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines, Iowa, Friday, November 6th and Saturday, November 7th. 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, we want to register our commitment to liberty. It's time to get educated, get inspired, get connected, get motivated, get some influence, and get ready to impact the 2016 elections. Meet the presidential candidates, take part in a presidential poll, support fellow Christians who are taking the brunt of it. This conference is for Christian pastors, parents, teachers, businessmen, employees, and chaplains. Bring your family to the Iowa Event Center on November 6th and 7th for an historic event as we take a stand for liberty. This is a crucial moment in the history of the Western world. Will you play a part in it? Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio today. Just a couple of fathers raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, and the rise of liberalism. Ultimately, it was the ideas of liberalism. Now, I know our Australian friends don't call liberals liberals. They call liberals conservatives. But when we call liberals liberals, we're referring to those that are progressive and humanistic. They're always coming up with new and wonderful ideas that are not rooted in Scripture, and they've abandoned all sense of a biblical world and life view, a Christian world and life view that has been part of the Western world for the last 2,000 years. And that abandonment has occurred over the last 100 years or 200 years. You can read about it in my book, Apostate, if you would like. Well, liberalism is backfiring, and that's really the theme of this program. Psalm 141:10 says, "Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by." And liberalism, it falls into its own nets, and it's almost humorous at points. Here's an article from Vox.com. A liberal professor writes this article, "I'm a liberal professor and my liberal students terrify me."
Why is that?
Meaning that they've created something of a Frankenstein here. Liberalism is self-destructive, and indeed the fool is in his folly. He needs to be challenged in his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. And we need to point out the internal inconsistencies and the things that are producing their own demise, the seeds that they're sowing that will ultimately be
to their own destruction. We need to point these things out from time to time. And this article does it, is helpful. It does it for us, so we don't really have to do it for ourselves. So what he's saying is, in the university, there is no more freedom of speech. You almost cannot say anything. You're at the point where you can't. There's so much in terms of the politically correctness that you can't hardly say anything, or you will be arrested by the politically correct speech.
Yeah, because speakers. Everything will offend somebody.
Yeah. The politically correct police is sort of the 1984 Orwellian society, in which even those that make the rules wind up arrested and thrown into the same prisons, in which guys like Robespierre, who came up with the idea of the guillotine and was so involved in leading the French Revolution, winds up losing his own head by the same means. So this kind of thing happens often with the revolutionaries of the left, and that's precisely what's happening apparently in the university today. He says, this is again his quote. By the way, he uses a pseudonym for the article because he doesn't want to be arrested and doesn't want to lose his job. Isn't that funny? That's hysterical. Meaning that the politically correct police, established by the liberal community themselves, is going after themselves now. Boat rocking isn't just dangerous, it's suicidal. This isn't an accident. I have intentionally adjusted my teaching materials as the political winds have shifted. I almost make sure all my remotely offensive or challenging opinions, such as this article, are expressed either anonymously or pseudonymously. Most of my colleagues who still have jobs have done the same. We've seen bad things happen to too many good teachers.
It's kind of like the public school teachers telling everybody not to have kids and then wonder why they don't have a job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. The upshot of this article is we sure don't want to offend anyone. We might get sued or fired over it. We sure don't want to hurt the feelings of this effeminate, easily offended, emotionally fragile academic world. So that's my interpretation of this guy's article. I have no idea who he is. Edward Schlosser in Vox.com uses a pseudonym, so we have no idea who he is. But
he might offend somebody.
So afraid to take a stand on anything anymore because he might be arrested by the politically correct police. So, Steve, I think this is the effeminate, easily offended, emotionally fragile academic world. And it's not just the academic world anymore. It's also the workplace. It's going to come to the point at which you're not going to survive in the workplace. The workplace will see major turnovers all the time. Why? Because we live in an effeminate, easily offended, emotionally fragile, academic and economic world.
So what you're saying is the destruction of man and manhood really wasn't a great idea.
That's been a huge part of it. Now, it's not the only part of it, but liberalism has brought in this effeminate, easily offended, emotionally fragile, academic world. That's what liberalism has been about in this nation for the last 40, 50 years, with the demise of guys and the end of men. So the destruction of manhood, yes, has created a destabilized condition for human society. Why do I say that? I can say it with a great deal of confidence because I believe that God is very smart, and God creates men, and God creates women, and they are different, and their differences ought to be respected. Now, I know that I am hated all around the world because I have said that to hundreds of thousands of people at conferences everywhere. I know that I've been way out on a limb. Now, I haven't said much more than that. I've read a few Bible verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Titus 2. I read a few Bible verses. And for that sole reason, I am very much disliked by a society that is committing suicide. Ask me if I care.
Do you care?
Go ahead.
Do you care?
Go ahead. Ask me.
Well, I love you, Kevin.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Steve.
So there's one.
I've been careful not to say much more than that because you say more than that and you wind up throwing all your pearls before the swine. I don't even want to bother with that anymore.
Well, the Bible's offensive.
Yeah, it is. God has created men and women, and we got to respect both men and women at all levels of society. Now, I happen to believe that there are limitations as to what women can do within the context of the home and the church. Well, I happen to believe there are limitations to what men can do within the context of the home and the church as well. You say, well, what are those limitations? They're laid out in this book.
That would be the Bible, it looks like.
Holy Bible.
The Holy Bible.
Holy Bible. Yeah. So So if you want to know what the limitations are, they're laid out in the book. Now, that's what liberals don't want. They don't want any limitations laid out by God. They want their limitations laid out by man. Well, as it turns out, their limitations are far more limiting in the end. Way more limiting in the end. If the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. And the maximum freedom we have is within the law order presented by Jesus Christ himself. Well, liberalism is backfiring, my friends. It's backfiring. Another example of how liberals are falling into their own traps. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by. Psalm 141:10. Be back in just a moment. Dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those important relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. And how you disciple your son has everything to do with building those relationships. Here's an opportunity for you. Don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our Father-Son Retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this September. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions like wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. It all happens September 3rd to the 6th at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Also Steve Vaughn in studio. As we watch the wicked fall into their own nets, while we pass by. Psalm 141:10. Another example, Steve, of how this happens. This is an article from the Washington Examiner about California's sexual re-education camps. Coming soon. Okay, Washington Examiner. I don't believe this is a Christian article or Christian newspaper. It's just simply talking about what's happening in California. And what is happening here, Steve? Let me explain from the outset. What's happening is the sexual revolution is tripping all over itself when it comes to the definitions of rape. You know, the drunken orgies just aren't working out as well as they had hoped.
Yeah, but they just aren't they supposed to get consent or something like
that?
Yeah,
that's the whole idea. And this new law from California signed by Jerry Brown last year apparently is going to wind up with half the fraternity being incarcerated by winter break.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, they just don't know how to handle it. The definitions of rape, obviously slippery. So they want consent. And they want consent. It has to be affirmative, conscious, voluntary agreement ongoing throughout sexual activity that can be revoked at any point in time. Now, I don't even want to get into that definition because that is one of the most restrictive definitions. That's going to be a task. That's going to be
I'm trying to envision this. No, it's not pretty.
Don't. Just don't. Don't even try. Don't even try.
Oh, my.
It's an example of how the sexual revolution is falling all over itself and doesn't know what to do now. Now, this bill was signed by a Democrat governor, Jerry Brown, and initiated by another Democrat. And apparently alcohol also negates consent since the line between intoxicated and incapacitated can be decided after the fact by the accuser. So
are there breathalyzers around too?
So, you know, the drunken orgy, they got to get the signature on the consent form and it's a little wiggly, you know, it's not like she drunk while she was. You're done for.
Yeah.
You're done for.
So
yeah.
You got to have the breathalyzer there, too.
This is the end. So, yeah. This is the end of the sexual revolution as we know it. Because I don't think it's just going to be half of the fraternity incarcerated. This is going to be 94% of the fraternity incarcerated by winter break. Okay. Well, that's what's happening with the wicked.
Wow.
I've got a solution for this, by the way.
What would that be?
1 Corinthians 7, found in...
Here you go, back to the Bible again.
Yep, the Holy Bible.
The Holy Bible.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Yeah. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 7.
All right.
Now this,
well, this is going to get you in trouble.
This is going to solve the problem.
Okay.
You know, we got the wicked falling all over themselves. The sexual revolution has finally hit the cul-de-sac. Now what? Seriously, I think these people are confused. They're blind. They're wandering around trying to feel for something somewhere. This is mass confusion happening with the sexual revolution right now. And I've got a solution for it. 1 Corinthians 7 will fix it.
So bring some light to this darkness.
It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. See, I think that would work out the issue.
Yeah, so get married.
Yeah.
And have sex with just your wife or your husband.
How about we not have a sexual revolution?
Sexual restoration, maybe.
Yeah. How about we do that? How about we say everything they did from the 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s, the whole pop culture thing, the whole shacking up thing, the whole hooking up thing, how about we just throw it all away? How about we repent and turn to Jesus Christ and listen to his words via the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7? Want me to read that one more time?
Sure.
It's good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. And the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time that you devote yourself to prayer. All right, so there it is. Done.
Seems pretty easy to me.
We solved the issue.
Yeah.
Once again, on the Generations Radio broadcast, while the wicked fall into their own traps. All right, here's an article. I'm going to end on this. This is an interesting article from Time Magazine. It's called Love in the Age of Like.
Love in the Age of Like.
Yeah, very interesting article.
Yeah.
Human beings have never had as many romantic options. Will that doom love or save it? Now, in a recent program, we pointed out that millennials actually have less sexual liaisons than the baby boomers.
And why
is that?
Why
is that?
That?
Because they're repenting of their sins. They're attending church at the highest rates ever in the history of this country. No, it's not.
No.
No, it's not. Actually, millennials are attending church at 18%, down from 55% for the silent generation. And about half of them are big time in favor of every form of sexual decadence you can come up with. That is half of those who attend church. So,
you
got about 9% of millennials are on track. The other 91% of them are on the internet. Well, you know what's happening. The massive increase in internet pornography and pseudo-relational sexuality where there is no relationship at all. And just the whole breakdown of the postmodern world is affecting the millennials. And so, you know, we're moving from sexual decadence to sexual nihilism. And the decadence to nihilism move is, you can watch it in culture all the way back from the 1960s. There was an element of nihilism, even within rock and roll, as early as 1965. When we were singing Like a Rolling Stone with Bob Dylan, and when we were singing Can't Get No Satisfaction with the Rolling Stones. So the nihilism was evident from the beginning. And the whole postmodern world from the 1960s onwards, the whole pop culture constantly moves and transfers from sexual decadence to sexual nihilism. You actually see it in Miley Cyrus, and she accomplishes it in like 4 years. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Within one lifetime, within 4 years, she moves from decadence to nihilism, and you see it as she rides nude on wrecking balls in her music videos. So the imagery of the modern culture is very clear. You can see it on almost every video now, music video, in which nihilism pretty much dominates. Okay, well, let's get back to this thing. It turns out that people are not meeting each other via human society and human relationship anymore. They're meeting each other online. Online, in which this guy says, every bozo can now be a stud online. You can stand in line at the grocery store and swipe through 60 people's faces on Tinder while you're waiting to buy hamburger buns. That's 20 times as many people as my dad met on his marriage journey. In the history of our species, no group has ever had as many romantic options as we have now. That's Time Magazine. Very good article. And you see these graphs in which they have both heterosexual couples and homosexual couples represented. And they show you how they meet their quote-unquote partners. And what happens is, in every instance in which it was on the front porch, in which families were involved, in which churches were involved, in which people were involved, I'm talking human beings, every one of those instances has dropped since roughly 1990. Meantime, you see this green line coming up. You see that green line
that's
coming
up. That's the true hockey stick.
That's the hockey stick.
Yeah.
These are the ones who have met online. So now some 40% of them, in the case of homosexuals, 70% of them meet online. Heterosexuals, it's slower. But that's the way they're meeting. Now, if that's the depth of their relationship on the front end, and it seems to me that's the way the relationship is forming, that's what they're getting to understand about. So the data they're getting up front before the romantic thing kicks in is, of course, false data, because what you get online is not the true personality. You're certainly yeah. not getting any objective evidence from church, from friends, from coworkers, et cetera, or even friends in college. You see, those are all falling. Those are all dropping. But the information you're collecting concerning your significant other is coming via information online, which is just an avatar, which is just the fake personality, not the true personality at all. In my experience, those who have met online, those relationships tend not to last. That's my experience, Steve. My guess is most of these relationships in which people have formed online are going to dissipate, are going to be very shallow relationships. They're not going to be formed in good, solid foundations with rebar that run through those foundations in which those marriages will last. No, I think the relationships formed over the last 5-10 years online are generally going to be flaky. I didn't say all of them.
Yeah.
And for those of you who said, no, my formed online, we're doing just fine. I'm going to say, in general, it's not a good way for society to go. This is an indication of the shallowness of the modern existentialistic lifestyle in which we live for ourselves, we develop fake personalities, and we don't really want to do much more than like somebody on our Facebook and unlike them when we get divorced. So I think what will happen with many of these relationships, whether it be heterosexual or homosexual, the vast majority of homosexual relationships, of course, formed online. Not so much for the heterosexual relationships, but in the end, I think you're going to see that these relationships are going to be very shallow, your typical shallow existentialist relationship, much like what you find in John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men and Grapes of Wrath and these books that have wonderfully presented the shallowness and the absence of a relationship in a world in which man wanders like a vagabond east of Eden.
Yeah. So when you get two people who are start off being less than honest with each other and boosting each other up, and then when they finally meet in person, they find out that, wow, this isn't the person that I thought they were, and they're the same way.
And it usually takes you 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years to really get to know each other,
right,
as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And when you find that the person you first fell in love with is not the person you're married to today, you're probably going to be as disappointed as Jacob was with Leah when
yeah.
he met her online.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, my friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. My encouragement to you is grab a copy of our book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality, a good presentation of a biblical perspective on sexuality. And we use much of Christian history and much of the wisest Christians that have ever lived on these subjects, especially as we approach the issue of sexuality in the dysfunctional world of the 21st century. Get my book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. We're also looking for more supporters for this Generations Radio broadcast. Our goal was 150 to keep us on the air. Thus far, over this first month of fundraising, we've reached 94. So if we can take that to 150, we can keep this on the air for the next year and bless folks from 100 countries around the world that tune in to our radio program. I hope this has been helpful to you. If it has been, please forward our program on, or at least the links to our program on, to others who may be interested, whether they be family members or friends. forward our programs onto others, get more people tuned into this radio program. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.